starting a new series today on the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. It's called, what do I have in there? Living Supernaturally, right? Yes. Anybody interested in living supernaturally? Yes. All right, we got a few takers. That sounds good. I thought before we kind of get into the series, I needed to preach a message the Lord laid on my heart. I felt like it'd be unwise to kind of go into this series without being able to receive and being ready to receive all that God has for us. You know, it'd be a little bit like when we were parents of young kids. We didn't take our kids to P.F. Chang, for example. We took them to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Yeah, you don't take kids where they're not ready to go. And so as a congregation, we need to be ready to go into this series in the Holy Spirit. So the message God's giving today is to prepare us for that. So today's kind of Chuck E. Cheese and a lead into P.F. Chang. We'll end up at P.F. Chang by the time we get to the end of the sermon today. All right? Anybody hungry?
Yes.
All right. Jesus said these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, just going to stop there for a second. Too many times we look at that verse and we say, okay, well, that's kind of the model. That's sort of God's plan for how to do missions, right? You start in your home area, your Jerusalem, and then you move out, and oftentimes Judea is calling it, looking at your county, how to, you know, minister in your county, and then Samaria is generally like your state, and then to the ends of the earth kind of goes outside of that, including world missions. That's usually where we end up looking at that, but we forget that there's some verses that precede verse 8, beginning at verse 4 in Acts chapter 1. It says, "In one of these meetings, as he," that's Jesus, this is after his resurrection, right, "was eating a meal with him, he told them, 'Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I have told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, that's interesting. He puts those words together. He reminds us, again, about the baptism of John. When people were baptized by John, they were immersed into the water. Jesus is saying, look, there's coming a day here real soon. Stay here until this happens. You're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Think about that. We're not talking about a little sprinkle here, folks. We're talking about getting wet. Okay? We're talking about going under. There's something about that death to self, okay, being raised up again in power, all right? That's what Jesus is trying to get us to see. We need to be filled up from the inside out. God wants to fill us with power, not again because we can go out and be some power display. He's filling us with power so we can live out his purposes for us in this life, for we can reach the full potential of the design that he has given us for our life. A few weeks ago, we had our prayer service. And we had an outline. I've got some of these and some more bands. If you want to pray until something happens, I've still got bands, still got these inserts up here. The first thing that we prayed for was for the Holy Spirit to empower us so that our changed lives will lead others to surrender to Jesus Christ. And then there are a list of many other things. I'm not going to go through those right now. If we don't have the first thing on that list, the rest of the things aren't going to happen. If we don't have the person and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, our lives are not going to be all that significantly changed. And people are going to look at us and feel more sorry for us than be attracted to us. We do not want that for the sake of Jesus Christ. The passage we're going to look at today comes at a turning point in Jesus' ministry. It is Mark chapter 4. You can begin turning there. We'll also have it up on the PowerPoint today because we have air conditioning. Thank the Lord. We had to replace our thermostat, but we can keep the PowerPoint working. So we're excited about that today. Small favors. Thank you, Lord. All right. So up to this point, Jesus has been ministering primarily through miracles. Healing, casting out demons, and things like that. Lots of crowds have been gathering, and everywhere Jesus goes, lots of people are interested. They want to show up. Well, he's kind of shifting a little bit what he's doing, and now it's more of a teaching ministry, and this is important because Jesus knows that a lot of people are interested in showing up at church when there's a power display. Everybody wants to see that. The problem is, not all that many folks want to leave with their life transformed. Some folks say, you know, I want my circumstances to change, but I don't want to change. And that is what Jesus talks about in this parable that he does in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered. See, they're used to the power display. So he got into a boat, then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many parables, many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. Listen, he said, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, we're going to take a little closer look as he describes this, but just for right now, I want you to notice the farmer only has one bag of seed, one kind of seed. It isn't different ones that he's planting. It's one kind, and he plants without prejudice. And what I mean by that is he doesn't look where he's planting, you might say. The seed goes everywhere. It's not just for some select places. And there's a very interesting response of the seed once it's planted. It varies considerably depending on where it landed. Now, verse 10, later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. Now, I'll say more about that, but verse 9 said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What that means is, if you don't catch what I'm saying, ask. That's what we see happening in verse 10. They're asking. And so he replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they saw what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. If you just listen to that, the first impression there is Jesus is intentionally trying to hide God's revelation from some folks while revealing, making things plain to others. And that is not the case. What he's saying here is that the bar is being raised. Now, those who only kind of come for the show, they just want to watch, they're going to be dealt with a bit differently from those who come to be changed by God's divine revelation. Very similar to today, really. There are folks that attend church primarily to watch. They're willing to attend. They're willing to be there. But they're just not that willing to let things get too close, things to get too personal, and actual change to happen. On your outline, I have it there. Jesus is not rejecting some folks and showing favor on others. All he's saying is, look, there is going to be a difference in response of people to the gospel. That's all this is about. So, if you're interested, again, verse 9 and verse 10, if you're interested in learning more about God's revelation, invest yourself. That's in the way of what Jesus is saying. Invest yourself in discovering answers to your questions. Verse 13, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Again, stop there for just a moment. Jesus is alerting us to something very important when he stops right there. There's something about this particular parable that unlocks the treasures of all of Jesus' teachings, not just the ones he's speaking at that moment, but his teaching ministry. In other words, this parable is like a key to a vault. This is on your outline. Understanding this parable provides access to the riches of divine revelation. Okay, God's word. Jesus is telling you today, there are unimaginable riches in his word. And tapping into those riches is possible if you desire it, if you invest yourself in it. God will give the key to anyone that says, I want the key. I want to invest myself. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to apply your word to my life. I want to live out the fullness of your design for my life. He will give you that key. And again, I just want to remind you, if you're not in a small group, now is the time to get in it. Because folks, you need these keys. And these keys come with asking and pursuing. Verse 14, Jesus kind of like, I'm glad you asked. Guys, you know, the disciples and the others that kind of came around, it's kind of, I'm glad you asked. And then he starts verse 14 and he explains it. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So the first thing we learn is that the seed, this is on your outline, represents God's words, the gospel, the good news, right? Now, what we saw when he explained it the first time, I said, look, he spreads out the seed everywhere he goes. One of the things that we oftentimes want to do is we want to decide. We want to make the judgment about who's worthy of receiving the gospel. I don't want to plant seed there. Oh, they're not good enough. They're not like me. Jesus is saying, no, the gospel is planted without prejudice, without regard. It is given out. Next thing. We can assume that Jesus is identifying himself as the farmer. So by extension, by giving us the Great Commission, we're farmers too. We are. Some of you never thought about yourself as a farmer, did you? All right? Get your bibs on, boys and girls. All right? Get those bib overalls out. I know you got some. Yeah, get that. Okay. We see in the parable, the farmer takes the seed to the fields, right? Okay? The seed doesn't get out to the field on its own. Okay, we got a lot of Christians walking around with their bag of seed. Okay, they got the gospel, but they're not sharing it. They're not spreading it anywhere. So I got my seed. I got my seed. That's not the point. The point is the bag's supposed to be empty, right? Amen. Verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares, by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And verse 20, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Amen. Notice the impact, this is on your outline, the recipient's spiritual surroundings have on their response. Okay? Our spiritual influences, what's around us, what's in us, has the potential for a life-altering impact. When the gospel hits us, how does it take root? What happens? Well, let's take a look at the footpath. It says, Satan comes immediately and removes the seed. This is the person that's got some dark stuff going on in their life. All right, there is some area of sin that they hang on to. They're unwilling to let go of and let God take control of. They hang on to it, and as a result of those dark spiritual influences, they are hardened. That's the footpath. It's hardened to the revelation of God's word. And so result is God's word has no impact. It's like Teflon. No stick. That's it. Rocky soil. Says life's problems or persecution eventually kill the seed. This person is only open to God's revelation of the gospel as long as it works for them. Okay? Life difficulties, little pressure comes along. No, I'm not interested anymore. And in fact, oftentimes what happens when those difficulties or persecution come, God's the one that gets the blame for it. And he's at fault. So, you know, it's like, I'm not putting up with this. So, okay. Oh, we don't need that many people going. All right. And just go ahead and close that door on your way out. That'd be great. Thank you very much. All right, thorns. In this life, there are many distractions. Thank you, Jesus. And alternatives to the gospel, all right? This is the person that is preoccupied with the American dream, and that pursuit wins out over God's dream for their life. We studied this passage not long ago, 1 John 2:16. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. Success, this is on your outline. Success, as defined by the world, is a higher priority than a life of success as defined by God. All kinds of distractions out there every day. Good soil, that's the next one, the last one there. The good soil receives the seed, okay? It provides the proper nutrients for the seed to grow and to even grow abundantly, right? We've talked about that this morning. John says in 1 verse 12 in his gospel, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. There are no evil influences present to disrupt the receptivity to the seed and to limit the growth of the seed. In fact, in this soil, there are only good spiritual influences that are invited into that person's life. The next blank there, we are responsible for the spiritual condition of our hearts. That's why I wanted to talk about this. This is why the Lord led me to this first before we start really talking about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. How well I receive the seed of the gospel, God's divine revelation, is on me. It's on me. Why is it my responsibility? Because I pick the influences that come into my life and surround my life. That's not God's fault. You can blame him all you want, but it's not. The influences that are in your life are the ones that you pick, the ones that you keep. We are the custom agents of our heart, of our mind, of our will. What's the responsibility of a custom agent? To keep anything and everything out of the country that doesn't belong there. You are custom agents of your heart, your mind, your spirit. Whatever you watch, listen to, go to, play with, whatever is influencing you. Is it positive? Is it the kind of influence that Jesus wants in your life? What I invite directly impacts my openness to God. We make up the kind of soil that we become. That's up to us. This series has the potential to change our lives and the life of this congregation. If we're ready for it, if you're interested in nothing more than Chuck E. Cheese, this series is not going to interest you. If you're interested in something a little bit more, you're in the right place because we're going to work on this stuff together. I'm learning. I'm going to try and teach you what I'm learning, and we're going to learn to go together. Now, whether it's a 30 times difference or a 60 or 100 times difference, again, that's up to us. God is not going to force something on us that we're not willing or ready for. He's not the one that places the limits on the harvest. Verse 21, then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So Jesus is saying, look, he's using these parables to help people understand because it would be a waste to just put the gospel out there and not see a response to it. And again, he says here, if you don't, anyone with ears to hear should listen. This is the second time he said it now. So again, he's saying, look, if you don't get what I'm saying, stop me. We'll have a Q&A here. We'll make sure you understand. I want you to understand. The reason Jesus is motivated is because he sees the people motivated. The disciples and the people that are with him, they're the ones going, help us. We want to know this. We want more. And Jesus is saying, look, you want more? You'll get more. That's the key. That's the key to this whole thing. Verse 5 of James in the first chapter says, if you need wisdom, what? If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you, he will not resent your asking. Jesus is telling us in all kinds of ways, the scriptures, on your outline, a child of God never has the excuse, I don't understand. Okay? We don't. I read the Bible, but it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I even bother. Okay? I try to lead a life that's different, but I just keep making the same foolish decisions over and over again. That is a person that lives at Chuck E. Cheese. All right? You're not getting it. You're not getting what is available. There's a whole lot more. I just need to ask, if you're ever, listen to the promise in James 1 verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask. It's just that simple. I get up every day and I literally say, Lord, oh, give me wisdom today. I don't want to blow it. I want to make every decision the right decision. God is excited to answer that prayer for us. We should never have to wonder, go around in confusion. God is saying, it's here. If you want it, it's available. Verse 24. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. That's the payoff for the investment. Verse 25, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? Do you hear how dangerous it is to come in to the presence of the divine revelation of God's word and ignore it? Act like it doesn't apply to you. That's for somebody else. That person sitting over there, they're the ones that need it. I don't. I'm sure glad I don't have to listen to this today. If that's all you're doing, you're watching. You're not letting the word of God change you. It needs to go beyond that. If we don't respond, we're putting ourselves in a place of danger. Jesus makes it crystal clear. This is on your outline. What happens once we hear God's word is directly on us. And hearing, as we see in these verses, hearing the word and then allowing that word to produce change in our lives has amazing benefits. We talk about being fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's a process of spiritual growth. If we invest ourselves in that, we say, I want to grow. I want to become like Jesus. I want to live the kind of life that Jesus would live if he were me. God says, I'll make that possible. It is available for you. Ask. If there's something you don't understand, when you read my word, ask. I will give you my spirit to understand it. If you're invested, I'm invested. If you want to grow, I want you to grow. Can you believe? Jesus is not willing to hold anything back from us. He doesn't want that. He wants everything that is available be available to us and for us. The 30, 60, 100 times harvest is in direct proportion to how much we invest ourselves in listening, understanding, and applying God's word. Every one of us has a decision to make. Those people that sat there at Jesus' feet had a decision to make that day. Will I be the kind of person who just comes for the power show? I just want to kind of see the miracles. I want to see everybody get all excited. That's all I'm really looking for. I want to go home and say, wow, what a good service. We got excited today. Or do you want to go home changed? Do you want to be a different person than when you walk in here? It's a decision every one of us has to make. And I believe that's why God told me to preach this first. Because there's a lot of power when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. And people can get excited about that. Wow. That's good stuff. I need some of that power in my life. We all do. But if that's all we're interested in, Jesus says, you know what? I don't think you're really looking for what I want to give you. This kind of spiritual examination is going to include things like, am I willing to call sin, sin? See, we all want to kind of give our own definition of sin, don't we? Let's be honest about it. We do. I make mistakes, other people sin, right? I slip a little, others really mess up. Yeah, that's how we do it, right? We do. Yeah. Am I ready to genuinely confess my sin? Turn 180 degrees from it? Am I ready? Am I willing to do that? Here, am I willing to surrender every area of my life to the control of the Holy Spirit? Am I willing to do that? I was thinking about that this morning. I said, Peggy, what's the name of that movie? What was his name again? No. Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves, right? At the beginning of the movie, does anybody remember this? He's actually trying to commit suicide, right? He gets on Cisco. Isn't that the name of the horse? Gets on there. What does he do? He just throws his hands back, right? Lets himself go. He is completely abandoned to death, riding that horse, waiting for those guys to kill him, right? That is complete openness, surrender, submission. Now, in the movie, The Wrong Purposes, obviously, I'm talking about, are you willing to do this? Just kind of throw your head back, completely surrender every area of your life to the person, the control of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going, folks. That's what this series is about. I'll be honest, it scares me. Holy Spirit scares me. It does. I told you, I have, it's changed. I confessed this to you guys a few weeks ago. Trust. As I was saying, Holy Spirit, is there anything I haven't given you control of? I said, yeah. Trust. You work your way up the scale. But when it comes right down to it, you're just a little bit scared of me, aren't you? Yeah, Lord, I am. I am. You might ask me to say something or do something I'm not sure I want to do. What's that for you? What's that for you? I'm reminded of the song. We saw this on Sister Act 2 a while back. Lord, send me revival. Let it begin with me. Right? Lord, send a revival. Let it begin with me. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Do you want a revival in your life? Are you ready for that? Are you up for that? Do you want that? Do you want that? Sometimes we know what we need, but we're not willing to let God get all that close. I don't think I'm the only one with trust issues. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's the believers in Jesus Christ, okay, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. That means stick to it to the end. The race marked out for us. Throw off, this on your outline, indicates a clear decision has been made. You cannot run this race and hang on to the garbage that's in your life. Okay? There's no hesitation here. There's no second guessing. There's no straddling the fence. There's no, you know, hanging on to an area of sin and hoping God's too busy to see it. That's not going to work. All right? You need to throw off, get rid of some stuff in your life. What's entangling you? What's hindering you? What is keeping you from throwing open your arms and saying, Lord Jesus, I surrender every area of my life to you. Whatever that is, whatever it is, confess it. Just confess it and say, God, take this away from me. Okay, give me more trust. And it's been growing. It's been growing. I told you today, Sarah's been an amazing example of what she's been going through. It's taught me more about trust. Thank you, Sarah, for your faithfulness. Okay, it's teaching me more about how to trust God. And as I deal with these issues going on, financial issues, physical issues, I have a peace inside of me that I didn't have 6 weeks ago. Didn't have it. It's coming. It's coming. Say, Lord, I'm open. I'm open. So, what's keeping you from reaching your full spiritual potential? What is it? What is in the way? Whatever it is, be honest about it. Don't try to hide it from yourself because God already sees it. Okay? Just say, there it is, Lord. There it is. So, we're heading into this series. It's not going to be some stroll in the park. All right? It is not. It's not a 100-yard dash. We're not going to just kind of get in this thing and get right back out. It's like a marathon. 100% effort on our part. All of me, all of God. All right? It's time to decide. What do you want to do? Let's go ahead and close our eyes, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, let's just start first with some real basic decisions. If you're here this morning and you can say honestly that there really isn't a relationship between you and God, that you haven't yet stepped across that line of faith, you haven't yet asked Jesus into your life and turned away from your sin, if you need to do that this morning, just take a moment right now and just say, Lord, I admit I'm desperate without you. The life I've been living, it really isn't that great. I keep trying to tell myself it is, but in this moment I'm being honest. It really is a mess. I made lots of bad choices. I've let a lot of bad things influence me. And Lord, I'm turning away from that today. Take my sin. Forgive me. I promise to live the rest of my life for you. And if you prayed that prayer today, Jesus is saying, look, I'm faithful to forgive you, restore you, and welcome you into the family. Many of you here prayed that prayer at some point in your life. For some of us, we kind of let Jesus in the door just enough to get us saved. But we didn't really let him in enough to take over. And so I'm going to challenge you this morning. You've got an opportunity to come clean with God. And just be honest. Say, Lord, I know I gave you my life at one time, but I really haven't lived the life that you've called me to. I really haven't lived the life you died to give me. There are some things that I'm carrying right now, some sin, that's entangling me and it's hindering me from being everything you've dreamed for me to be. Take a moment and confess that. Just be honest. Release it. Don't hang on to it. This is your day to walk out of here a different person than you walked in. Jesus has told his disciples a couple times, if you have ears to hear, listen. So this is your chance. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe it's fear, insecurity, low self-esteem. What is it? Trust or lack of it? What do you need from Jesus? What do you need from His Spirit this morning to live the life that He has planned for you? What is it? Lord, in these moments, as we open our hearts, our minds, our wills to you in complete surrender, we are trusting in the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to remove the obstacles and the hindrances that we have released. And as we do that, Lord, I'm praying across this whole room this morning, anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us, heal us, set us free, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Anoint us, fill us, immerse us, Lord Jesus, that when we come back out of this water, of this spiritual water, that we are made new, and that we're whole, and we're ready to live our lives completely dedicated to you. Lord, take us, change us, make us into everything that you dream possible for us. We believe it in the name of Jesus today. And all God's people agreed and said, amen, amen, amen. Worship team, would you please come forward? And we'll close up with this, I think, new song? All right, new song. If we could get your communication cards turned in here in just a moment, you can begin thinking about that. We'll collect those in just a moment. And let's see. Christian or Christopher, who's on the outside? Christian, would you gather up the cards for me, please, when the people hand them towards the middle? Thank you. Thank you.
I was thinking of the song as Pastor David was closing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And that's what I want the Lord to do with me this morning. And I just feel the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. And this song I don't know how it works out every week. But it's the power of God. Because this song, I want to put up this first slide and show this to you. Lord, I give you me. I give you my all. That means I give you everything. I'm not going to hold anything back. And whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And that's going to be humbling for some of us. But I think if we open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as Pastor has asked us to do, I think we'll find our rewards there in heaven. Lord, I give you me this morning. Please stand.
We're going to be singing that song for a while, aren't you? It's kind of new. We're stretching ourselves a little bit, but good stuff, good stuff. Do we have all the cards? Have them all turned in? Got them? Fantastic. Thank you so much. And Pastor Dan and I are available for prayer if anyone needs that. Michael over here as well. We got at least three folks. I think Barbara stepped out. Any of our small group leaders, Jean's right here. Anybody that needs prayer, come on up here and we'll pray for you. Before we head out, though, please receive this blessing. These are from the words of Scripture. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. A power-filled week. All right. And say goodbye to Florence. Let her know we love her. We're going to miss her. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. A little song we got called Striving. You gotta keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you gotta push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I'm asleep, he's got his angels watching over me. And I see me.
Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all. Till I heard a voice in my head. It said, keep pressing on. And keep striving, striving on.
When I'm seeing, he's got his angels watching over me.
In a single scene. Never go wrong. Keep your faith strong and hold on, yeah. Try and you will see that Jesus Christ is reality. That's why he's real to me.